When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Election College, episode number 311, John F. Kennedy, part 2.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Jason, we're back. We're back talking about JFK for the second out of however many episodes this is going to be.
Yeah, I have no idea where this is going.
Yeah, it's a wild ride because JFK is a huge figure and a huge life and a huge death for that matter. So, I mean, he has a lot of influence in our culture, and definitely going to talk about that more. But first, I want to talk about you, Jason. You're in a new place. You're moving all around the country.
I am. I moved all over the country. I was supposed to come visit you, but
I know, yeah.
That kind of stank. We had a little bit of an issue with the landing gear. And if you don't know what landing gear is, that's the thing that holds up your RV. And yeah, I broke it. Basically, there was so much pressure when I was retracting the landing gear that it snapped this big old pin. Like a thick thing. It snapped in twain. And it took a couple of days for it to come in. Of course, there was the guy at the campground who offered to help and then proceeded to tell me that I don't know what I'm doing.
And well, he was right.
Well, I don't. But it's one thing to tell somebody they don't know what they're doing, but it's another thing to be like, hey, I'd love to come alongside you and help you out a little bit.
Right.
He wasn't like that. He said, well, when the part comes in on Wednesday, I'll help you. Of course, he didn't. And he didn't even come over for me to be like, hey, buddy, look, I fixed it myself.
Right. How dare he?
I know. But I will tell you, I'm getting better at this. I didn't have to go back and forth to the store. Like, I had the parts.
Nice.
So if anybody needs help with their landing gear and I'm at your campground, I promise I'm not going to make you feel like an idiot.
When I heard that your landing gear was messed up, I was trying to figure out what landing gear was because I thought that was like only on planes, but I looked it up and I get it.
That's what makes Googling things really difficult because then you don't know the names of the stuff. Like,
right.
There's this Teflon plate that you put on your hitch and it's called a lube plate.
Uh-huh.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
A lube plate.
I never would have known that had you not just told me.
It's like learning vocabulary all over again.
Mm-hmm.
But the only test is that if a jack falls and, you know, crushes you.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
It's not good.
Growing up, my dad and I always worked on cars and, you know, anything that was wrong with our cars we fixed. And I helped him a little bit work on his hot rod. And so, like, I had become accustomed to calling things by certain names. And now that I, like, you know, have my own home and, you know, work on my own cars or have to diagnose things on my own, it's really funny, like, going to YouTube to look up a tutorial on something because that didn't exist, you know, when this was happening for me. And now I go and I'm like, why did they just call that a totally wrong name? Because that's not what I call it. And then you look it up and that was the right name. And I was calling it the wrong thing all along.
Yeah.
I knew what I was talking about, but nobody else did.
Yeah. I don't even know the names of the things that I'm getting. I do know that it was the lead side, which is the side that the motor is on.
Uh-huh.
And if a bolt snaps, that's actually a good thing because a bolt snapping into is like the fuse box of the torque industry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so if something snaps, it means, oh, there's something else that's wrong. It's not just that you have a weak bolt.
Right.
And when that happens, you need to just stop, think about it, and I was so stinking proud of myself, though. I had like three jack stands set up and a jack and then another safety device. I was set.
Nice.
All for Macho Man to come back and be like, hey, I'm here to help, and for me to go, ha, 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 I fixed it. And he never came.
He never came. Well, I'm proud of you too, Jason. I had scheduled some time to make sure I was going to be around when you were here. And then when I found out you weren't going to be here, I was like, oh, I'm going to have free time now. Like, free time without anything to do. What am I going to do? And then as soon as I knew it, my schedule filled back up. So it worked out that you couldn't make it, although I was sad not to see you. But anyway, that's just life.
Here we are around our virtual kitty table. I'm in Michigan now, and I'm at this campground that used to be owned by a cult.
Yes, you told me about this.
Yeah, and it is absolutely crazy. A lot of the buildings that the cult built are still here, and I'll probably tell you a little bit more about it. I'm here for a month.
Yeah.
And what you need to know is they had the baseball team, and the leader of the cult is buried in the house.
Yeah, creepy.
Yeah. That's all right, what you well, do when let's... you're a cult leader.
Yeah. We might as well get into talking about JFK now. People are probably bored about hearing about our personal lives and landing gear and all that stuff, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I would be.
Yeah. So, as Jason mentioned, I think, briefly, in the last episode, if he didn't, I imagined it. But either way, Joe Kennedy, John's older brother, was kind of the guy that they thought was going to be next in line for the presidency, or at least the next guy to run for the presidency. But he passes away. He passes away in 1944 during the war, and they say, "Well, Jack, you're gonna be the guy now, because somebody in our family is gonna be the president, and it might as well be you now."
Yeah. So Dad says, "Hey, James Michael Curley, vacate your House of Representatives seat, your congressional seat, because you need to become mayor. That's what you need to do, buddy. Go do it. I'm a party boss." And like a boss, he convinced him. So Curley, he goes, runs for the governorship, and Dad says, "Hey, son, go forth and run. You are the new generation, and you are the leader that the new generation offers." And guess what happens? He, being John F. Kennedy, wins the Democratic primary with 12% of the vote. Get this, there were 10 other candidates for a congressional seat.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He takes 73% of the general election vote. He, Joseph McCarthy, Richard Nixon, they are several World War II veterans that get elected to Congress.
So he serves in the House of Representatives for about 6 years, and he's on a few committees while he's there. But he ended up kind of turning his attention mostly to international affairs, was very in support to the Truman Doctrine. You know, the Cold War is happening around this time, and that's especially relevant. And he is kind of, you know, The labor unions are a fan of him because he stands up against some things that would weaken their power, weaken their position, I guess you could say. And, you know, he's really kind of making a name for himself as he moves through. And as early as 1949, so just a couple years after he gets into the House, he starts trying to gun for the Senate. And he starts preparing to run in about 1949 for a seat that's not even open until 1952. So the person he's running against is Henry Cabot Lodge Jr. We've talked about him in the past, and I'm sure we will in the future as well. He'd been in for a long time, three terms at this point, and Dad comes along with with the money and the experience. He's managing the campaign. He is financing the campaign. And this is where we're kind of introduced to his brother Robert as well. And Kennedy ends up winning. He defeats Henry Cabot Lodge by 70,000 votes for the Senate seat. And promptly has a few spinal operations, you know, after all that, all the problems with his back and his physical problems that we talked about in the last episode. There, you know, he's getting a little older now, and not old by any means, but a little older now, and he's starting to have to get some respite from those troubles.
Yeah. Kind of interesting about that 1952 election, because Ike won the presidential part of the ticket in Massachusetts by 208,000 votes. So there were a lot of people who voted Ike and Kennedy for the Senate.
Not a lot of straight ticket voters in that election.
Yeah. JFK is recovering in 1956 from his time being ill, and he publishes his book Profiles in Courage. And that book, we've referred to that a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a biography about famous U.S. senators who risk their careers for their personal beliefs. And he wins the Pulitzer Prize for biography in 1957. A lot of people were like, hey, buddy, we know that you wrote this book with your buddy Ted Sorensen. And Sorensen said in 2008, yeah, you're right, I did.
I bought that book probably when I was in junior high or high school. It wasn't new or anything. I bought it, you know, at a thrift store or something. Never did read it, though. I think I even know where it is, but I still have yet to ever read that book.
Wow. Need to get on that.
I know, I do. It's true. I've read excerpts, but that doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
You tried.
So the 1956 Democratic National Convention rolls around, and Kennedy is up on stage to give the nominating speech for Adlai Stevenson. And of course, Stevenson, you know, we talked about him, and we'll talk about him again, I'm sure, at some point, ends up saying to the convention, go ahead, pick the vice presidential nominee. Well, Kennedy was there, but he finished second. Senator Estes Kefauver ends up winning first place. Now, I think you'll probably know that Adlai Stevenson did not win, therefore neither did Kefauver, and Kennedy is still around, still getting his name out there a little bit. And it's not long before he is reelected to a second term in the Senate, and almost a million votes separated him from his opponent.
Yeah, and you get his press secretary, Robert E. Thompson. He says, hey, buddy, we need to have a film put together, because that's what we do, because you're kind of the man now. You're becoming the standard bearer for the youth movement, especially in the Democratic Party. So they put together this film. It's called The U.S. Senator, John F. Kennedy Story. And it shows the day in the life of JFK, all about his family, all about his time in the Senate, and this helps him launch his candidacy in 1960. He's a big beneficiary of his dad's efforts, because his dad's like, hey, you know Senator Joseph McCarthy? He's going to work for you. And you know Bobby Kennedy, your brother? He works for McCarthy's subcommittee. So it all works out, right? Especially when McCarthy dates Kennedy's sister, Patricia. Anyway, a whole lot going on there. But he gets a lot of support from the liberals, the Democrats, including her ladyship herself, Eleanor Roosevelt. He gets her support in 1956 and in 1960. Da-da-da! On January 2nd, 1960, Kennedy says, hey, people, I'm running for the Democratic presidential nomination.
And that he does with the 1960 election. He's still a really young guy, especially for being president. And so he announces that he wants to run. And a lot of people are like, okay, so you're like a 1.5 term senator and you served in the House and you're like 15th. Okay, not really 15, but people don't like him for that reason because, you know, he's young and supposedly inexperienced. But he is charismatic, and that gets him a lot of support. What doesn't get him a lot of support is the fact that he is Roman Catholic, and the country essentially is, you know, kind of terrified that, well, if, you know, a Catholic gets in office, then the Pope's going to be running the country. But Kennedy was very good in getting the word out that he was very much in favor of the idea of separation of church and state. It also helped that he was Catholic, because there are a lot of Roman Catholics in the United States, especially. And so that gained him a lot of support as well. And up until this point, he's the only Roman Catholic person to be, I think I'm right on this. He's the only person to be a major party nominee who is Roman Catholic, which, you know, he'll go on to be the only president to be Roman Catholic as well. But that, getting ahead of myself. He has a few people that are really interested in running against him for the nomination. You've got Lyndon Johnson, who is the Senate Majority Leader at the time. You've got Senator Hubert Humphrey, and you've also got Adlai Stevenson, who is no stranger to this show. So he goes out and he gets a lot of support between like different people who are high up in the Democratic Party, as well as just regular Joe Schmo voters that are out there. And they've already, the Democratic Party, if you're familiar with the idea of delegates and superdelegates and stuff like that, they've got a lot of delegates that are already supporting him that have basically said, we're going to vote for you regardless because of your stature and your dad's stature and also his money. But there are some primaries, and Kennedy is really focusing on winning those primaries to kind of boost his chances of getting the nomination for the presidency.
Yeah, he ticks off the labor unions when he selects Johnson as his running mate because, you know, they considered Lyndon Baines Johnson the arch foe of labor. But Kennedy's like, I don't care. I'm going to win Texas because I chose Johnson. Get it?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, okay. And, you know, people are giving him a hard time, especially Richard Nixon, who he faces in the general election. And Nixon's like, hey, you're really going to vote for a Catholic person? And Kennedy so eloquently says, I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party candidate for president, who also happens to be a Catholic. I do not speak for my church on public matters, and the church does not speak for me. Boom. So yeah. There is a little bit of a separation there between church and state, as he was big on. And they square off in the debates, Kennedy and Nixon. We've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sweaty Richard Nixon. Sweaty,
sick. Did not do him any favors on television.
Yeah, that's rough. Nixon was ahead in the polls. And it turns out that Kennedy wins it by a squeaker and a, you know, a few dead people voting for him. I don't know. Do you think dead people voted for Kennedy?
If there is such a thing as dead people voting, I'm sure this is that it has always happened in one way or another. Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of quaint, right? You know, Kennedy won. He won Illinois because a bunch of dead people voted for him. You never hear about that anymore.
No, never.
I'm sure it goes both ways, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, he's 43 years old. Dude, I'm going to be 43 soon.
You could be the president.
I'm nowhere close to being president.
No. You just need to have more money and a good family name that everyone knows.
Man. Got the family thing going on.
Well, yeah. It's also interesting to me, Jason, whenever the primary is happening and the selection is happening, Kennedy is really worried about the fact that if he doesn't get nominated on the first ballot, that there could be a second ballot that would definitely give the nomination to someone else, maybe Johnson, maybe someone else entirely. When's the last time, and this is a legitimate question, I don't know the answer, when is the last time a nomination convention has gone to, like, we didn't know who was going to win going into it?
Oh, man. Like,
it's been a long time. Ago? What's that?
When you didn't know who was going to win?
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know in 2016, right?
We didn't know what?
Who was going to win? Are you talking about the primary?
I'm talking about the primaries, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, like after all the primaries are done and they go to the convention, like when's the last time that we didn't know going into the convention who was going to win the party nomination?
Oh, jeepers. I don't know.
I know. It seems like that, you know, it used to be a real wild card. Somebody could go in without even thinking about running and come out, you know, at the end of the convention and be the nominee. And now it's like we pretty much know who's going to be the nominee going into the convention. There's always the possibility of a wild card, but it's really, you know, usually tied up before that actually takes place.
Yeah, true. Well, we'll talk about what happens in the election. Maybe. What happens after the election when he assumes the presidency. But somebody's going to say, wait a second. Roosevelt, he was the youngest president. Well, that's just because McKinley was assassinated. Theodore Roosevelt became president at the age of 42. But he didn't win the election.
Right.
So just a clarification on that. And another clarification is, well, it's time to go.
Yeah, that's always sad when it's time to go.
I know.
It doesn't have to be sad because we have like 311 episodes. You can just keep listening to us talk if you want for days on end, I'm sure. But what you could do in the meantime, while you're listening to us over and over and over again, is leave us a review on iTunes. We really like it when we get nice reviews. It's nice to see them. It's nice to imagine you sitting there typing them up, just, you know, with a smile on your face, thinking about Jason and Ben. We like that. That's not creepy at all, what I just said. So go ahead, go over to iTunes, leave us a review, and we will appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you break a metal object in your house, like a landing gear on your RV, you can head over to Amazon and buy a new one and support the podcast while you're doing it. All you have to do is go to electioncollege.com/Amazon, and you'll be helping a couple of cousins out.
Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time with part 3 of JFK.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.